So, guys, I think you all heard that Twitch recently got hit by this massive hacker attack, and basically everything got leaked. The SDK, the source code, the passwords, the everything. Everything got leaked. Did you hear about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so this is crazy. I just got a PM on gbatemp.net from a guy who has showed me proof that he was the one who hacked Twitch. Now, he also says he recently hacked Facebook as well, because they took down... Yeah, this is apparently the same guy. So this is
big news. Is it 4chan?
It's not 4chan, because this is a guy from gbatemp.net. He's a registered member and has been for a very long time. And the reason he actually hacked Facebook was because they took down his anti-vax group. The thing is, he also then hacked Twitch because his Twitch channel wasn't doing well. He was doing these stupid Legend of Zelda like Let's Plays. So yeah, it wasn't working out well. The only information I can give out about this person is that he listens to the Tempcast, actually. And he is a lawyer. And that's everything I'm going to say about that, because, yeah, this is insane. What do you guys think? What do you guys think about this leak and whatever, and how it could impact the gaming world?
He sounds, the hacker that is, he sounds like a stand-up dude. He sounds like he's handsome. He sounds like he's smart.
Would a smart person do that? Would a smart person just tell me in a private message on GBA Temp about this kind of illegal activity?
Did he also ask for a ROMs?
Hey, I was about to ask that.
The thing is, he actually did.
Did he also have a signature that was too big? That might have gotten deleted by one of the moderators, perhaps?
I'm not going to give out these kind of details, because then
sounds like a great guy, and it sounds to me like if he did do all of this, you know, he would possibly hack GBA Temp next in retaliation for his signature getting removed. So just saying, if the signature comes back, maybe it doesn't get deleted next time.
I'll take that into account. But then again, who am I to think about his motives, to interpret them? Who knows what this man or woman is thinking about right now, even though it's probably a man.
Or non-binary individual.
It's definitely not up to you to interpret it, because as we've already discussed, there's only one interpretation of these actions, and it lies in the Quran. It cannot be interpreted other ways. We have to turn to that for the answers.
I think we cut that part from the intro.
No, not that I remember. I still remember it. So have a good time editing around that shit, Alan John.
Okay, yeah, we had a little bit of an Islam discussion before we started recording.
It was good, for the record. I was described
very positive.
It was positive. It was positive.
Yeah, Eric was basically, he took out a piece of paper and started drawing the Prophet Muhammad. And we were like, whoa, Eric, stop.
But he drew him really handsome, big muscles, super positive depiction of him.
Yeah, he got a big, you know, what's it called? You know, a bulge? Yeah.
Yeah.
So
tasteful, but
we were like, Eric, don't do that. But he's like, no, I'm a lawyer. And according to the law of the United States of America, free speech, I have the right to do this, and they can't stop. And that's why
we were like, Eric, but you don't follow the law of the United States. You follow Islamic law, famously.
Oh my God. Jordan, help me out here.
What can I say? I mean, you and I are the same person, so whatever they're saying against you, it's against me too.
Okay. And Jordan and I did not do that.
And Jordan is not denying it, so.
Yeah, so I actually looked at all of your guys' Twitch accounts, and I saw how much money you guys actually make. And it's insane that you still ask me for pocket change. Like, your stuff is in the millions. This is insane. Like, every Twitch streamer on Twitch is making serious cash. Like, this is insane. And also, I know all of your passwords now. And some of you don't have two-factor authentication. And Eric Sander just left the studio. I'm not even joking. He literally just stood up and went away. So, guys, what do you guys think about this Twitch leak? Because I have actually an expert opinion on this by an actual real guy who knows websites. But I'll get to that bit a little bit later. What do you guys think? What are you guys, your opinions on Twitch?
It's a platform, that's for sure. I don't really watch much on Twitch.
Because some people on GBA Temp respondent, like the first post in the thread on GBATemp.net is, what is Twitch?
And why should I care?
Yeah. And honestly, I don't even think that's a troll post. I don't think that people are trying to troll them, because there's people on this forum who know nothing other than how to, I don't know, hard mod a GBA something. Like, they probably don't know what a Twitch is.
I don't know. I guess it is interesting seeing how much some of these highest paid streamers got in payouts between August and 2019 and October 2021. The top one is Critical Role, which I don't know if any of you guys are fellow D&D nerds, but that's a D&D live play stream. Not live anymore. COVID kind of killed that. But it was a bunch of voice actors who played Dungeons and Dragons together, and they kind of have a brand of being like friends who are playing. They are the top earner from August 2019 to October 2021 on Twitch, earning a payout of $9,626,712.16.
Could you just imagine making that, even if you're distributing amongst all of them evenly and paying all the taxes, but you're literally playing Dungeons and Dragons? Like, that's the life.
Oh, it's a company, and that was kind of the wake-up call that I saw. It wasn't really video game related, but that was the wake-up call I saw in the D&D community, is like a lot of people finally realizing, like, oh, these aren't nerdy friends. This is like a company. It's like, yeah, it has been for a while, and they made nearly $10 million from Twitch in just over a year. And that's not counting sponsorships, ad deals, and Kickstarter stuff, because they just Kickstarted a show that's going to Amazon Prime. So it's like, yeah.
Wow. But does that necessarily mean that they're not still just good friends hanging out?
They probably are, but the brand that they've sold people isn't exactly as it seems. Like, they're not just... It's not just like when we get together to record the podcast, because we're not making $10 million from the podcast.
Yeah, we're only at like $5.5 million.
So, not really, kind of unrelated to video games tangent, but it's proof of how much some of these people are making from Twitch.
I just now understand, like, why Pokimane doesn't show her feet because I have a friend who actually who tried to pay money for Pokemon to show her feet on stream. And she denied it. And it was like $20, right, Eric? It was like, yeah, I think it was, he said it was $20. And she was like, no. And now I understand why. Because when you're making like, what, $5 million a month or a year, is it? I don't know if those are annual payments. But yeah, if you're making that kind of money, you'd be selling those things for like hundreds of thousands of dollars, not for 20.
Oh no, GBA temp's down. That's weird.
It actually happened. Oh,
no. It is interesting looking at the breakdown, just the massive difference. Like, Critical Role is at the top at nearly $10 million. But then earner number 25, Shroud, is making barely $2 million.
Barely. So barely.
Wow. How? That's embarrassing for them. Can we go through the list and see how the GBA Temp TV Twitch is doing? How much money have we made on
list?
That?
The list I'm looking at is only the top 100. Do you think GBA Temp TV is in the top 100?
We're not? That's really weird.
The thing is, somebody, right after I changed my password on Twitch, because I found out about this instantly through the GBA Temp chat, and before this was on, like, Polygon or Kotaku. So if you wanna know what's going on in the world, just open up the GBA Temp staff chat and stay there, and you'll probably get the news before anyone. Yeah, that's where it is. That's where all the spicy stuff comes in through first. Somebody tried to hack into my account, like right after this happened. Somebody tried to get Alan John, twitch.tv/AlanJohn. Somebody tried to log in, but thankfully I got my two-factor authentication fixed up before that happened.
Look at you go.
Yeah. I don't know if GBA Temp's channel password has been changed. I think it has been. So it guys, has,
yeah.
You guys should check it out for yourself. Like any listeners out there, just try to see if that old password still works.
May also be worth your a fool and use the same password for every site. I don't know who would possibly do that, but you should probably change those other passwords too if you use the same password on Twitch for other places.
Yeah, the expert opinion that I wanted to talk about was from a guy, you might know him, his name is Costello. He's the administrator of gbatemp.net. He actually talked about this. I'm going to quote him. Basically, now that the source code for Twitch has leaked, people are going to be finding so many exploits.
Hold on, this doesn't sound like Costello.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, je suis là. Source code. It has leaked. And now you must. I can't do a French accent. I can't do him justice. I can't. But yeah, basically he's saying that since the source code leaked, they're going to be hackers are going to be just combing through it, finding exploits, and that Twitch has to decide between two options here. It has to either rebuild the entire site from the ground up, right? It has to do that, or it needs to get an audit by a third-party security firm who would comb like the entire website themselves and patch up those exploits as quickly as possible, because I think I've read somewhere that hackers defaced Twitched with pictures of Jeff Bezos everywhere. So basically they took the site and they used some kind of exploit to put like to change every image into Jeff Bezos. Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Wow.
So in order to, good thing that was Jeff Bezos, not Goatsy or whatever, or Blue Waffle or something. Don't Google that.
How can they do that? They can just go in and, like, I know they have the source code, but how can they change all they the shit? They
find exploits. It's like you have a wall and you have, like, these, you know, cracks in the wall and you just exploit them. I'm not a fucking hacker.
That's fair.
If only
that's
we
fair.
Had a hacker on this podcast, somebody with hacking skills who he could explain how this all worked, but unfortunately we don't have that kind of person.
I had a YouTube channel. I don't know how hacking works either, sorry.
If only we had somebody who knew how to extract a zip file.
God bless you.
So Twitch got leaked, and you know, did anything else leak this week?
There were some games that came out this week. Did any of them leak?
You know, fun fact, the guy who messaged me about the Twitch leak, he was actually asking for a ROM. It was a Switch ROM.
Oh, is it for Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl?
No, I don't think that's out yet. I think it was Metroid Dread, actually.
Oh. Not Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania?
That's not on the scene yet, you know, nobody's dumped that yet, so I don't think so. Mm-mm, no, but he did ask me, but I did not comply with that, because piracy is f***ing wrong, especially with a game so good like Metroid Dread, because I've been playing it on my Nintendo Switch right here. This is the new Nintendo Switch OLED.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
oh, I'm showing it
on camera right now. Yeah. It's pretty cool. I got it yesterday, and I've already beaten it. I've already 100%ed Metroid Dread. And, guys, this game is really, really f***ing good. It really is. It's a really good Metroid game. It's a really good game overall. I'm surprised how good this game was. I haven't been doing a lot of gaming in the past couple of years, with, you know, my doctor stuff and whatever, and just being an adult overall, has hindered my capabilities of being a gamer. This game, when I started playing it, I couldn't stop playing it. Usually when I'm playing a game these days, I'm like, okay, I got through the intro. All right, I'll finish this part later. I'll just pause it, save it, and never touch it again. But this game just kept me going because it's so good. It's way better than Samus Returns. Because it's basically my biggest gripe with Samus Returns was the fact that it was a 3DS game. And it's not fit for the 3DS because the 3DS is just so uncomfortable for me personally. And it just ran badly on the OG 3DS. This is a full-fledged console-grade Metroid game. And it's really good. I had my doubts, but they were proven wrong. I can go into fucking as much details as you want into this game. But one of the biggest like surprises for me personally in this game, this is going to go into spoilers. So I know none of you care about Metroid, but some of our listeners might. So go forward at least 3 minutes ahead. I don't know. I'll put in the time code where the spoilers start and where they end. So,
well, hold on. Are you sure none of us care about Metroid? I heard Steven is like the biggest Metroid fan.
I've played every Metroidvania. Just kidding.
Okay. Every single one.
Yeah. Played the entire Metroidvania series.
Okay, so practically in the middle of the game, there's this cutscene. Samus is in this really sticky situation, right? She's pinned down.
I'm going to take my headphones out, so give me a thumbs up when you're done with the spoilers. All right, here we go.
So Samus, she's pinned down, and she needs some help. And you know who comes out?
Sora.
No. SAX. No. The evil Samus from a Metroid Fusion.
Yeah, no, he's just spoiling the game, the whole game right now.
And
yeah.
What happens then is going to blow your mind. Can you shut the fuck up?
No, I have my headphones out. I don't hear what he's saying.
I can't fucking talk because you're talking at the same time. Yeah, I can't fucking
get to the part where I talk about Sora being smashed. But let's shit first.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no, Sora's in Smash. No, but we're waiting. We're waiting for that.
Okay, I muted him. Right. Okay, so here's the thing. Here's what happens. SAX, she comes out and she beats like the evil Metroids or whatever. And they're fighting together, but then they're like, she basically tells Samus, like, hey. Like, SAX talks to Samus. She's like, hey, you know what? Let's fuck. And they have a graphic sex scene. I'm talking scissoring, butthole licking, all that kind of stuff. And it actually happened. And it blew me away. It honestly did, because I was like, holy shit, this is a Nintendo game. And since this is like rated PG-12 or whatever, they're all suited up. They don't take off the suit. So it's just scissoring between like two Samuses, but they're in suits. And so it was so graphic. I was like, wow, Nintendo, they were so brave with this approach to Samus. I've never seen this before in a Metroid game, which is something that I applaud, because finally we got some LGBT representation in the Metroid games. It's really cool, really amazing scene. It made me, some fluids came out of me. There were tears.
I put my headphones back in. He was being cheeky the whole time. He wasn't actually spoiling it. Yeah, no, we're good. We'll get to Sora and Smash. Hey, are you guys done?
Check out Metroid Dread. It's already out. It's an amazing game, and I cannot say enough good things about now, how Alan good John, this game is. Yeah.
I've never played a Metroid game that wasn't a Metroid Prime game. Okay. Am I going to miss big lore if I just jump right into Dread?
Yes.
Oh.
What do you expect? Yeah, you need to play the other games, especially Samus Returns.
But what if I'm impatient and just want to play the new one so that I can be hip and trendy?
Well, you're not going to get the lore. And there are some really big payoff moments in the game specifically tailored for people who've been waiting for it for like 19 years or something.
Oh, wow.
Is the story very intrusive? Or if you wanted to just play Metroidvania, could you just kind of cruise through it and get the gameplay?
Well, I don't understand that question, Steven. If you want, then yes, you can ignore the story. But you can do that for every game.
No, I mean, there are games that have long talky scenes or you can't skip cutscenes. It'll, you know, you have to pay attention with, to the story to know what you're doing. It's not always possible like to skip Metal the story. Gear. Yeah.
Or Kingdom Hearts.
Greatest story ever told.
Or Smash Bros. I can't play Smash Bros. Without knowing the story. Much like Kingdom Hearts.
Alan, John, what are you doing with your hands?
This is a perfect fucking segue for you, Eric Zander. Smash Bros. And Sora from the Kingdom Hearts games.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because they released the final DLC character, and I can't believe it.
No, they just announced him. He's not out yet.
Oh, true. But they announced it and showed gameplay, and I can't believe that Doom Slayer is finally in Smash.
I've been trying to hum my way into that because Alan John won't let me actually play the music because copyright or
I won't even let you hum it because copyright stuff and it actually recognizes the hum. I don't think so. I am not shitting you right now. Especially with Disney properties. It's you don't want to play around with them.
Anyway, guys, it's the moment we've all been waiting for. Another anime sword fighter in Smash.
But this one uses a key.
This one uses a key, so it's more like a bat than it is a sword. More of a bludgeoning item.
So does Sora crack in skulls with that thing? Does he make...
Yes, he's cracking skulls and unlocking hearts and locking hearts also. Okay. And diving into hearts with it and closing Kingdom Hearts and preventing the reopening of Kingdom Hearts and traveling through time and
Disney movies.
Yeah, and traveling through worlds, traveling through sleeping worlds, traveling through worlds that are awake, traveling through worlds that have been eaten by the darkness, traveling through worlds that are still light, traveling through the worlds between the worlds.
What?
Twilight.
Oh, God, he goes to the Twilight movies?
Oh, no.
Jesus, I didn't know they were in there.
I'm still Team Edward.
I'm Team Sora.
Traveling to the land of darkness and back. Like, you know how hard that is?
I don't even understand what it means.
Only, like, 7 people have been able to do it. That said, only 7 people have been in there. But
I have no idea. Not the slightest idea what Eric Zander is talking about and what it has to do with Smash.
That's the important thing is now you don't know what I'm talking about, but the important announcement that everybody wanted to hear is that the entire Kingdom Hearts series is coming to Nintendo Switch, guys. Yeah! You're going to get all the lore. You're going to get 1.5, 2.5, 2.83, baby. There you go. Melody of Memories is already on it.
I can't wait to ignore this series on yet another platform.
Oh, I have never seen Eric Zander more upset in his life.
It's okay. I understand that Jordan and Steven and Alan John are just too stupid to understand the plot. They're not smart enough. Their brains are like, Metal Gear baby ass shit. Baby Metal Gear plot. Walking around like, hey, I'm
you know
Snake.
What, Eric?
Now I'm solid.
I'm gonna get the Kingdom Hearts trilogy on my Switch OLED because, you know, I honestly planned to watch this entire like gameplay series on YouTube. Just watch, but my internet is so bad. But thankfully, this is coming to the Switch, so I can just play it on the Switch without any internet connection, which is great.
Wait, what?
Dude, I've got bad news for you. It's coming to the Switch as one of their cloud versions, where you need to stay connected to the internet the whole time and stream it.
Really?
That's not just Kingdom Hearts 3. That's all 11 of them, or however many there are.
Even the PS2 games?
Even the PS2 games have to be streamed for some reason.
I can't believe the Switch can't run a PS2 game without streaming it.
I can't believe that we all had our Smash prediction list, and when we made it about a little less than a year ago, you guys were like, oh, well, Eric's obviously gonna say that Sora's gonna be in Smash. And I was like, absolutely no possible way. It's gonna be either Crash or Spyro. I should have just gone along with it.
It's funny. Steven's the only one whose prediction is technically correct because Doomslayer got a Megunner costume. So, Steven, you win.
I'm the closest, definitely. I wasn't right, but I was closer than everyone else, which is good enough for me.
But what's Steven's prize for this?
Well, I was planning to get the winner a PS5. Instead, since Doomslayer himself wasn't announced, but only a costume, I'm going to gift Steven a PS5 costume. He's going to be a PS5 on Halloween.
What's nice. Funny is Steven and I already have PS5s and you don't. What?
Oh, shit.
No, I have a Switch OLED. I love my Switch OLED, my brand new real Switch OLED. By the way, I want to have a developer spotlight. Shout out to the Yuzu developers for the Yuzu emulator. Nope, for no particular reason. Just they're so freaking good. I heard their games can run on anything now. The emulator, I mean, it's so optimized. Even games that aren't even released yet officially can run quite well on the Yuzu. Yeah, that's what I heard.
How would one know that, though? Because piracy is bad. Know.
Yeah, if I see one motherfucker pirating Metroid Dread, you know what? The ban hammer's coming down on you. I'm one of those guys who was mad that the game leaked before getting like 3 million in sales or whatever. I'm a Nintendo fanboy and I don't like it when piracy happens.
The only thing that makes Alan John madder than piracy is when your signature is slightly too big.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess you could say that.
We had to scroll just a little bit and you're like, no, zero tolerance, removed.
No, you didn't even have to scroll. You just had to click if you wanted to see it. If you didn't want to see it, didn't click.
It exists there for a reason. It's to stop people from having too big of a signature. It's only 500 by 150 pixels.
Okay. That's your mom is 500 by 150 pixels.
Fucking wrecked.
Hey, who's that behind you? Is that Joe Rogan?
You know what? Nobody's going to get that reference. Nobody. Because this isn't a visual format.
Oh, then why do I have the straw hat flag behind me this whole time?
We can do video podcasts. We can do that. But Steven needs to get a camera because otherwise it's just too creepy.
Can you guys see my Rock Band drum set?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
We all have something interesting except for Steven, who we don't even know what he looks like.
Oh, I know what he looks like.
We are all in the same studio. We just all decide to not look at Steven.
Yeah. I'm mysterious. Can I ask you something about Kingdom Hearts? Metroid, yes, Alan John? Yes. You were...
Oh, we're going back.
Well, I was just wondering, you were talking about how the 3DS is too uncomfortable and cramped to play a Metroid game uncomfortably. How did you find the Switch OLED in comparison to that?
The thing is, it's funny that you ask. I didn't use the Switch OLED controls because I don't want to wear and tear the Joy-Cons because it's still new. And I knew I'd be playing this game a lot. So what I used was my DualShock controller.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's just a Bluetooth controller. You can pair it to a Switch. Trust me, bro. But yeah, there are segments in this game, which if you want 100% this game, you need to do a lot of, I don't know if this is a spoiler, but you need to do Shine Spark stuff. So yeah, Shine Spark is back. And the way they implement the speed boost in Metroid Dread isn't like something I like. If I had a gripe with this game, it would be that, because you have to press on the thumbstick in order to activate it. And when you press on the thumbstick, you're giving even more pressure onto the joystick. That's going to cause way more wear and tear with time. And you need to do a lot of that if you want 100% the game. So I can guarantee you there are some Switch OLEDs or just new Switches whose Joy-Cons, specifically the left Joy-Con, is going to be ruined after 100%ing Metroid Dread. Trust me on that.
Yeah, that's kind of annoying. You think they would... It's pretty ridiculous. I saw there was an interview with some Nintendo developers talking about the Switch OLED where they were talking about how they improved the Joy-Cons.
Yeah, I heard about
that. And some people picked that up as like, oh my god, they improved the Joy-Cons. But they were actually just talking about improvements to the Joy-Cons they made back when the Lite came out 3 years ago. And the ones in the OLED are the exact same. But okay. I don't think they had ever officially talked about fixing, like, improving them in the Lite before.
No.
And it's like, God, guys, how are you still not working on this consistently?
Just put a piece of paper under it. That fixes everything. It literally does.
It can't be that hard.
So, Alexander, what was your reaction to Sora finally getting some representation in the Smash Bros? He wants to just talk about this. I don't fucking know.
Representation matters.
Like, what does it even matter? It's just, okay, he's in the game. So what? He's listening. Okay.
We're back. Apple my nose.
God damn it.
At the most inopportune time, too.
I honestly thought Sora was already in Smash. I don't know why. I thought it was... I saw, like, some images on 4chan, like, about 2 years ago. It was, like, really good fakes of the intro screen with Sora. Sora keys in or whatever.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh... Okay, he's in the game. All right, whatever. I don't care about Kingdom Hearts.
I'll say this before Eric gets back. So all the DLC characters have been announced now, and soon they'll all be out.
Yep.
I don't know about you guys. I didn't get excited for a single DLC character.
Wow. Not even Steve.
No, the closest I got was for Banjo and Sora. I got excited for other people. That those characters that they like are going to be in the game. Like, I'm excited for Eric that Sora's in the game. But for myself, I did not get excited for a single character past the Simon and Richter reveal.
Okay.
And yet, this is definitely my favorite Smash game, but just, yeah, not no hype here. Zero hype train.
I thought the first Fighter Pass was really good. I thought Joker was a cool modern character. I've wanted Banjo-Kazooie in the game since I was 6, so that was cool. I don't really care about Dragon Quest, but I think Hero was a good pick. Terry and Byleth, I mean, I don't know, maybe, are a little iffy.
Not saying that they're bad picks, I just didn't get excited for any of them. That's all.
Yeah, I don't know. I will say most of Fighter Pass 2 were bad picks.
The other closest I got for Fighter Pass 1, I guess he wasn't technically part of Fighter Pass 1, but Piranha Plant, I was... excited just because that's such a meme of a character that I'm like, yes, do this.
Yeah, it's a unique character, and I like him a lot.
Waluigi who, Piranha Plant for Smash.
Yeah, exactly. It's something no one would have ever thought of, and he's very fun and creative, and I like Piranha Plant a lot. I think he was a great pick.
Yeah. But speaking of people who aren't excited for DLC characters, Eric, your excitement level for Sora in Smash, please.
That was neat. Cool. I'm happy for him.
Did I seriously just pay him $3,000 for just that?
Well, the thing is, spoilers for Kingdom Hearts 3, but I don't understand how Sora has gotten into the Smash universe because he's a little preoccupied doing some other stuff right now. And then Riku is also trying to look for it. It would make more sense if Riku, on his way to find Sora, accidentally wound up in the Smash universe.
Who the fuck is Riku?
But as it is I don't understand how Sora could possibly be there at this very moment because I know where he is. We know where he is.
Yeah, all of us do.
Yeah, we all do. He's in Smash Bros. And it's impossible for him to currently be in Smash Bros. Unless this is a sequel to the next game, which is also possible.
There we go. That's how they're going to get around not putting Mario in Kingdom Hearts 4.
So does that mean, wait, so this is a sequel to the next game, so this game is Kingdom Hearts 5?
I would say it's more like Kingdom Hearts 4.2.
Right.
Kingdom Hearts 4.2 Remix Birth by Sleep Ultimate Edition.
Birth by Sleep.
See, the thing is, you laugh at that, but the thing is, the title makes total sense.
I do enjoy
that. The thing is about every Kingdom Hearts title makes sense, okay? Except for 3. The only one that doesn't make sense is that the 8th game is 3. All the other titles make total sense.
What's a dream drop distance?
Okay, so what happens is there's sleeping worlds, right? And you have to, using the power of waking, dive into those sleeping worlds, right?
Listening to people describe Kingdom Hearts lore is my sleepy world.
Using the drop system, you can go between Sora and Riku as you dive into these worlds. So you're dropping in using the drop system in your dreams, and it's a distance.
And you're closing a distance?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's dream drop distance. Birth by Sleep, well, you sort of got to get to the end of the game, but then a certain character, Ventus, he takes a little nap. And it makes sense.
And gives birth while he's asleep? Or through the process of sleeping? Wait, does he create a dreaming sleeping world by sleeping?
No.
And he births the world?
No, but in Kingdom Hearts 3, you do enter his heart and wake him. But no, that's how.
So Vanitas, is that death by awakening?
He sort of pops up and then also his heart goes inside of Sora. Sora has a lot of people inside of him, by the way. So really,
what?
If assuming that, whoa, I just thought of something. Okay. What? Okay. Oh, hear me New out.
Kingdom Hearts theory.
All Hold right. on. Maybe Super Smash Brothers Ultimate Edition Sora level DLC is actually a sequel to Chain of Memories and 350 and a Half Days, but a prequel to Kingdom Hearts 2.
Ah, so yeah.
In that time period that Sora's in the pod, mm-hmm. like, you know, getting his memories back and everything.
Yeah.
This is all a dream sequence.
Oh, okay.
All right. So that explains why Sora A isn't with Donald and Goffy.
Yeah.
B and B is, oh my God. And he's wearing his Kingdom One outfit.
He
Kingdom
is. Hearts One yeah, outfit. I noticed that.
He's wearing his Kingdom Hearts One outfit.
Well, his alternate costumes are 2, Dream Drop Distance, and 3. So he wears all
those. Those aren't canon.
Yeah, that's not canon. So
where's the Birth by Sleep costume?
He's not in Birth by Sleep. Well, he is, but he's a child. Like a littler child, as opposed to he's a littler child. Anyway, so yeah, this takes place between Chain of Memories and Kingdom Hearts 2, where he's growing, and it explains his deeper voice, but also why he's still in his Kingdom Hearts 1 gear and he's by himself. Guys, I really appreciate this podcast. I'm glad that we were able to brainstorm this out and as a four-way figure this out.
Does make sense, yeah, now that I thought about it.
It makes total sense now, yeah. You
might be right, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
It's a prequel.
So there's, like, these dreams and, like, sleeping, right, in the Kingdom Hearts series, right?
Okay, so you know how in the intro everybody's, like, frozen, and then Sora comes, he's like, oh, sorry, I did the thing, and fixing everything, he's like, ha-ha-ha-ha. So this is post-Peter Pan giving him the ability to fly, of course.
Obviously.
He flies in the trailer!
What?
Oh, wait, this is post. I thought you said pre. Never mind. Yeah, I'm genuinely confused because Kingdom Hearts is the most confusing f-ing thing in the world.
Only if you're stupid. So
I'm you!
They're all, yeah, so they're all, you're the stupid part of me. So they're all in darkness and then he fixes it. So the thing is,
wait a minute. Are you like Sora where you have a bunch of different people inside of you? Like it's you and Jordan and Donald G and fucking whoever else.
Slap Happy Gamer as well, apparently.
Yeah.
Definitely I'm Chavasaur and
Weemy Switch.
God, no.
I refuse to believe that you and the Xander are different people.
Okay, the Xander with the
you, whole the thing. Xander and Eric the Great. Come on.
Yeah, it's all the same.
How does Smash Bros. ZZ fit into this?
Can we? I'm just trying to talk about Sora, man. I don't know why you just got it.
Sora, man, you're talking about fucking Lord of the Rings now?
Anyway, we're trying to. We figured it. So we figured out. I'm sorry.
Okay, so the thing
is, we figured out where this falls in the timeline.
That's great, because, you know, so does Sora wake up in these games?
In which games?
Yeah, any of them. Because there's sleeping and there's waking up, right?
So he starts Kingdom Hearts 1.
No, no, just answer the question. It's a yes or no question.
Hold, no, it's a complicated one.
No, it's...
No, he starts Kingdom Hearts 1 asleep, and then he wakes up. All right, then he does a bunch of stuff. Then in Chain of Memories, he goes to sleep at the end of it, right? And he doesn't wake up, but then he wakes up when he shows up in Kingdom Hearts 2. Jordan, get off your phone. I'm talking.
No, I'm good.
Jordan, get off your phone. I'm talking. I'm excited.
I've got Pokemon to catch, Eric.
In Birth by Sleep, when he's a little baby kid, he's not necessarily asleep, but somebody does enter his heart and say, hey, can I crash here for a decade? And
enter
says, sure.
His heart?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. No, there's an adult who's... he looks like he's like probably, well, he looks like a kid. He's probably 16 or something.
An adult enters Sora.
But he's actually probably a couple thousand years old anyway. He enters Sora's heart as a kid.
What?
And then he chills there for a decade. So anyway, so Sora's not asleep, but Ventus, who's a part of him, is. You would only know that he's only a couple thousand years old if you played the mobile games. I'm sorry if you didn't do that. So after that, not mobile games. I guess you really only have to play Union Cross, but. And then.
What in the fuck? I just wanted to ask a question. Okay.
I'm answering it.
Let me rephrase the question.
Throughout all of 315 and a half days, he is asleep. In Dream Drop Distance. Okay, he wakes up Kingdom Hearts. In Dream Drop Distance, he falls asleep towards the end, but Riku wakes him up. In Kingdom Hearts 3, I don't think he's asleep at all until possibly the end, in which case he either dies or goes to sleep or something like that happens.
Whoa, he dies.
Kind of, but it's like a sleepy death. He definitely does die.
The kind of death I'm having right now.
But like straight up dead. Like Donald Duck also dies. It's
Donald Duck dies? Does Disney know about this?
Yes, but it's okay. He's only dead for like 10 minutes. It's fine.
Okay, let me rephrase the question because you're going on a little bit of a tangent here. Okay. Does Sora wake up in the morning and step outside and then takes a deep breath and get real high, then scream on the top of his lungs, what's going on?
Yeah, so at the start of Kingdom Hearts 1, he's asleep. No, and then he wakes up and he's like, whoa, that's crazy that happens because Kyrie's like, hey, you little bitch, what you doing sleeping,
Jordan?
Like,
hey, Jordan, is there a series where you know a lot about the lore and can fucking talk in circles about it and bore everyone to death?
Can, yes. Well, I know.
Oh, thank fuck.
All right.
Anyway, but I'm really not a Kingdom Hearts fan or anything like that. If that's
it's like my second. It's like only a little bit worse than Sonic.
Okay, come so on. Tails, you think he's a boy, right?
But, and I know you were joking when you said that Kingdom Hearts was the greatest story ever told, because it's not. It's One Piece. Kingdom Hearts is number two.
Who said that it's the greatest story ever told?
Steve-O.
I did, though.
One Piece is... Can we talk about the Resident Evil trailer, please?
What? No, can we just talk about One Piece now?
It's not even a video game, One Piece.
There's plenty of One Piece video games.
None of them are good. Yeah, I said it.
So a new trailer for Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City came out.
All right, talk about Resident Evil. I saw those movies.
Jordan, what do you think? Do you like it?
So it's only a teaser trailer. Eric, get off your phone!
I'm on my 3DS, okay?
So it's only I guess, quote teaser. It's a 2-minute trailer. From the looks of things, it's going to clear the, like, rock bottom bar that the Paul W.S. Anderson films set. And it's going to clear that by actually taking its cues from Resident Evil 1 and 2 for the story and not introducing OCs to be major characters and make the main characters of the game side characters.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with so many characters that I'm interested to see the performances of, you don't really get... They cram a little bit of everyone into the trailer. You don't really get to see a good look at anyone. You get the best look at Claire. And... she seems like she'll be fine, I guess. But like Leon, I think we get maybe one line. Jill, we get one line. We get a few lines from Chris. And I think one line from Wesker, who looks nothing like Lance Reddick, I must add. Like, what's going on there?
Yeah, they really fucked up adapting that TV show. It really pisses me off when they take a black character and make him white like that.
But it's funny you mentioned the Netflix show, because when I was watching this trailer, I full screened it just so I could get the full view. And the CGI was so bad that my brain immediately went to, oh, this is one of the Netflix properties, so like I won't be too hard on it. And then I got to the end and it reminded me that, no, this is the theatrical movie.
Yeah.
Holy shit, this CGI looks fucking awful. The end shot of the liquor looks okay, but anything in motion just looks bad. There's a truck flip. Wow. That doesn't look good. One of the dogs looks horrible. I will give credit. The practical effects for the zombies that we see in the trailer, those look pretty good.
Oh, okay.
Like some really solid makeup work there. But otherwise, I mean, I've been saying this a lot and I'm going to keep saying it until the movie comes out and I can have a proper opinion. Live action Resident Evil has never once been good, and I certainly don't expect this to be good. It's going to be better than the last movies. It's not going to be as good, or it's not going to be good, though.
So, Jordan, I know that in the Matrix 4 trailer, they played the White Rabbit song.
Yeah, by Jefferson Airplane.
Yeah, it's a good song, and it actually has a lot to do with the storyline itself, because in the beginning of Matrix 1, he goes down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
But the thing is, What does hey yay 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 yay, whatever that song is called?
Oh, well, you see, there's a lot of screaming because zombies and people are afraid.
So that's it? That's why they played that 90s song?
No, they played it because it's super trendy to do a slower, darker remix of a 90s song in a trailer.
It doesn't have like anything to... I thought maybe it would be like, oh, this is Chris's favorite song, or this is, I don't know, plays it all the time on the karaoke. It was featured in Resident Evil 2.
The karaoke minigame in Resident Evil 2 was legendary.
Yeah.
Dude, did you unlock Tofu for that?
No. I've never played a Resident Evil game in what? My life. What?
You should play Resident Evil 4. It's the best one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out.
You could check it out on VR on your Oculus.
I'll play when it comes to streaming for my Switch OLED, which I definitely have.
Well, I mean, you can get the Switch port of Resident Evil 4 for your Switch OLED.
Wait, is that real? Does that exist?
Yeah, there's a Switch port of Resident Evil 4.
Is it official?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, Resident Evil 4 has been on every console since the PS2 GameCube.
Oh, okay. Speaking of official ports... GTA Trilogy got announced. Oh, we're in small things, by the way. All the small things.
Yeah, small things are back.
Because so much shit happened this week. GTA Trilogy is back. That's really cool. I can't wait to see the trailer. Want to see what the graphics are like. And I'm not buying it until Take-Two takes away their legal case. What are you guys' opinions on GTA Trilogy? Quick, because it's small things. Quick.
It's officially announced.
I like Grand Theft Auto original trilogy. I don't like Grand Theft Auto 5 that much because all the DLC and making it really stupid.
Good. Steven, go.
They're good games. You can already buy them, though. It's probably not going to be that much better in this collection, and this is an excuse to jack up the price.
Nice. Okay. Next topic. PlayStation is discontinuing the PS3 and Vita credit cards.
No.
Yeah. Who gives a fuck? I mean,
why are you buying games if you have a Vita? Why? Legitimate question, honest question. Why are you not hacking it? Do you think the money goes to developers? They're going to develop more Vita games. It's done. It's over. Same thing for the PS3. Why are you buying PS3 games? You can hack it easily. Who cares? You can't use the eShop out of all places. If you're buying like games for those old consoles, you buy it physical, not on the eShop.
It's because, all right, so for the PS3, they're still banning people who hack it and do it
don't improperly. Play online
the Vita,
on PS3,
they don't really do it, but...
Don't connect it to trophies. The internet. Trophies?
The only reason why I haven't hacked my PS3 and Vita is because I'm scared.
Oh, they take away your trophies? That sucks.
No, how are you going to connect to the internet?
So what I'm hearing is that for the few people like myself who were gifted a PS3 that they never played and don't give a single shit about trophies, we can hack our PS3s easily.
Yeah.
Nice.
Some are easier than others. But also, you say that in a judgmental way, like, oh, I don't give a shit about trophies, but I know how you feel about Xbox achievements, so don't...
I don't give a shit about them anymore, man.
Well, now you care about Steam achievements.
Shut up.
Oh, it's just like, oh, no, I'm too good for that.
Ooh.
That said, I don't care about Steam or shit, so...
Yeah, you can't get banned for faking Steam achievements, and you can easily get them like just by editing a text file.
Yeah, which is why they're pointless. But the PlayStation trophies, those aren't pointless. Those are big deals.
They're important.
Speaking about PlayStation, the new version of PPSSPP, the PSP emulator is released. Check it out; it's really good. Also, check out the Yuzu emulator; it's really good. Really surprisingly good. There's also another one called Ryu Jinx. I've never used it. I never used any of them, so I can't comment on either of them. But I think that Yuzu is better. Anyways, check that out. And also, rest in peace, famous Nankin rape denier Koichi Sugiyama, also known as the composer for the Dragon Quest games, which is really sad. He died at a very young age at 90. Which, I mean, he could have at least composed like 3 more games. Really sad stuff. Again, famous Rape of Nanking denier, but in Japan, who isn't? You know what? It would have been funny. Imagine if...
To not end on that.
Well, I tried. We're not, because you see, we got one more topic that I tried to segue into when I mentioned Resident Evil 4, but I got ahead of myself and...
Yeah.
It's just foolish of me, because Alan John, you still need to play Resident Evil 4.
I do.
You can take your Oculus Quest 2 and play it.
What? Alan John doesn't have a Facebook account, I said it for him.
I legitimately do not. Don't look for me on Facebook, because you won't find me.
Oh, well then how can you possibly play an Oculus Quest 2?
That sounds really suspicious for you to tell people to not look for you if they're not going to find you. Like, why do you care if they waste their time looking for you?
Don't waste your time.
I promise you won't find me. Just don't look for me.
Yeah, so don't even bother trying.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't have Facebook, and the Oculus Quest looks like a cool thing that maybe I could use someday, but it's you gotta use Facebook.
Well, I don't want to explain this one. Someone else does.
I don't know it well enough to explain it.
Well, if I explain it, then the segue doesn't fucking work, doesn't it?
So there's a side loadable tool that someone made called Oculus that allows you to desync your Facebook and Oculus accounts from your Oculus Quest 2 and still use it. So it disables a lot of the official features that you might want to use, but there are alternative side loadable tools to replace things like the Oculus Store or the virtual desktop or whatever. But basically, one of the biggest hangups people have about the Quest is that you have to have a Facebook account that you have to connect to it. And someone has found a way to make it so you don't have to do that anymore, which is pretty cool.
Now, is one of these alternative replacements, like one for the Oculus Quest Store, will it allow me to play Resident Evil 4 VR without having the Facebook link?
Yep. It doesn't interrupt the hand movement, the tracking, or anything at all. So games are still fully playable on it.
Wow. So look at that. Alan John, you would be able to play Resident Evil 4 in VR without a Facebook account.
That's nice. Finally. But I think you still need a Facebook account in order to get into the Oculus developer settings in order to sideload apps.
So. Oh, that's where you just make an alt.
Yeah, you do. But yeah, like Jordan says, you can just make an alt and make a dummy account, throw it away. You don't really need one.
The thing is, you need to put your phone number in order to get your Facebook account verified so you can access.
So just use a Google Voice number.
Yeah.
I don't think those are real.
Oh, okay, good point.
Whoa, Alan John's gone. What happened?
We lost our fearless host.
Oh, fuck.
Did Zuck get him?
I think so. Holy what? Shit.
Sorry, somebody asked me directions to the toilet once again. Just in time for me to do my my outro. What were you guys talking about?
We were worried. We thought Zuck got you.
No.
Yeah, that's another thing going on here where
Zuck's just getting people.
that this kid who made, because the kid that made this was only, I think, 17 years old, that he might end up getting targeted by Facebook in some way, because people have been talking about this.
Oh, he absolutely will be.
People have been talking about this story. Some guy made a program called Unfollow Everything and got hit with a cease and desist and some very threatening letters from Facebook's lawyers unless he took it down. Basically, it was just a tool that let you delete everything off your newsfeed so you didn't have that infinitely scrolling bit of content that people find very addictive on Facebook. And Facebook basically threatened to ruin his life if he didn't take it down.
Wow.
Yeah, so I kind of wonder how it's going to go for this kid. But I hope everything is okay with him.
He's going to get a lot of lawyer letters, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know, just with the whole 6-hour outage for Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp and all their owned properties, it feels like now is a really good time for that to come out, because it's like if you had a Quest 2, it was just bricked during that time. You just couldn't use it.
Yeah.
Good time to have an alternative there so that your VR headset isn't useless when Facebook goes down for another 6 hours. How many hours of Eric discussing the Kingdom Hearts lore is getting cut out of the final product for this one?
None, because it's like 70% of this episode. Otherwise, it'd be like only 20 minutes long. Which I wouldn't mind, actually. Hey,
now that I think people appreciate it. The humor that goes into the real long autistic rants.
You're not autistic.
There's something, all right.
Yeah, stop trying to big yourself up, Eric. Pretending you're autistic and everything.